If you would turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And as you're turning there, I love the song we sang today, Word of God Speak. It is a powerful song. And I think if we think about it, it can touch each and every one of us where we are in our lives. If we just slow down and allow God's Word to speak to us, to minister to us, to help us grow, to correct us, to chasten us, to grow us. It's just a powerful, beautiful song. Mark chapter 10, today's message is serving the master. And I want you to listen closely as we talk and go through this, trying to get exactly what I'm saying and what I want to pull out of the scripture here. And see if you can stretch just a little bit to get there. Mark chapter 10, go to the end, verse 35. And we'll be reading verse 35 through 45. And it is a verse we've talked about before. Talks about greatness in serving. And I'll read it and then we'll go back over and pull it apart. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." A ransom for many. We talked about that as we came to the Lord's table today. That he gave himself a ransom for many. That we are able to come forward. That we are righteous not because of anything we do, but because of him. So as we break this apart, first things first, let's just look at two students coming to the teacher saying, "Hey, do what we ask of you." Or let's look at it this way. Children come to the parents, "Do what I ask." We struggle so hard to get it right the other way around. And two brothers came and said, "We want you to do this for us." The right hand of the king was a place of prominence. It was the place to be. The left hand, it was the next best place. So I really pictured in my mind as I read this, James and John, how they would decide who got the higher position, who got the other, if Jesus granted that to them. I have a twin brother. For me, I would have said, "Up, the oldest, I get it." That doesn't work. Okay, let's go by the alphabet. My name's Adam. Hey, I get it. So I'd have found a way to make it happen. Or we'd have run to see who got there first. I'd have probably lost that one. But they said, "We want to sit at the right hand and the left hand, and we want to be there." And further back in Matthew, we've read that scripture before as well. They had their mom coming and asking for them. Okay, now as you get a certain age, there's an age of independence. I'm thinking they were probably there, but if nothing else, they were pushing mom, "Go ask Jesus if he can do this for you." That way you're pleasing the mother and not just the boys. So in verse 38, Jesus said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink that cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And what did they answer? Sure, we can do that. We can do that. The drinking of the cup and the baptism, he's talking about the suffering and death that Jesus would face and go through. He wanted his disciples to understand, when you say this, I want you to understand exactly what I've got to go through and endure. And that came a little later, as he had to pick up his cross, carry it, as they're beating him, spitting on him, kicking him, and all that had happened before he picked up his cross even. And Jesus said, I just want you to know what you're getting into. And he said in verse 39, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, you also will be baptized. So he told him, yeah, you'll go through this stuff, but I don't think you quite understand it. The disciples didn't fully understand the cost of their commitment at that point. Now, they've been with him a couple years at this point. And they said, yeah, we can do that. We're able to do this. But Jesus is saying, you don't understand fully your commitment and what you're saying. And I believe as Christians, we do that a lot also. Young people, and I know some of you don't like when I say young people because you're like, that applies to me. And then you separate the ages. Young people anyway, they go to Falls Creek and the likes of that and before and a little bit after. Man, when you have a life-changing experience, that's a commitment. And that's tough for you guys to comprehend and understand. Likewise for us older folks that are not teenagers, it's the same thing though. And if we accept Christ as we're older, those habits have been set a long time, a lot of times, and we've got to get rid of some old habits because we've been doing it the same way for many years. And we don't fully understand the commitment. Jesus said, man, I want something different from you than I want from your neighbor who does not know me. I expect something different from you. Not just I want, but I expect something different from you. Yet we don't fully understand the cost of our commitment. The cost of time, talent. I truly believe some of you don't sing out because you're good and you don't want us to hear it because you don't want to be used. But one out of two ain't bad, honey. But God says, I want to use you. And I want to use you, not for your glory, but for my glory. He says, I want to use you for my glory. When we sing out praises, our time, our talent, our practice to get better at some of the things that we can do, our money, our humility, change that's needed to do God's work and to do His ministry. We think, oh, we've got to do all that. For some, just being here on Sundays is a difficult task. And I applaud you for doing that. If it's truly that difficult, I applaud you for being here. Because God says, I need you here. I need you to be counted. I need you to be counted in the fellowship. And by the way, you may be here not for you, but for someone sitting next to you, behind you, around you. Young man, second week here. God may need you here for a bigger purpose. And it may not be visible this week or this month or this year, but He may use you. Wife that can sing. You know, He may need you for a bigger purpose than singing His praises. Good, I heard one amen and not a whole church of that, but my point being that God wants to use us for purposes we may not fully understand. And that we don't see and we don't believe. God, I want to be here or there. There's a lot of people doing things behind the scenes. And some of us never know they're doing it in this church. But they count. And everything you do for the glory of God and for His church and His people counts. We went down to the regional food bank of Oklahoma and packed backpacks for students that do not have enough to eat. I got to tell you, it was one of the easiest things I've ever done, one of the funnest things and most rewarding things I've ever done. That's fantastic. The slide that showed how many things that we, how many meals that we provided. There's a powerful story. If you go to Oklahoma.com or something like that, called Blue Backpack. Look it up. And keep a box of tissues by you. About what that stuff does and what it meant to one young man. Powerful times of serving God. How well are you serving the Master today? I don't mean today, what are you doing? I mean in your life today, how well are you serving the Master? In verse 43, he says, "Yet it shall not be among you, it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever of you decides to be first shall be slave of all." And when he talks about slave here, he's talking about slave in the translation is subjection. Subject yourself, not slave as in bondage. But at the same time, it's the same time in verse 45, he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So in a sense, there is bondage there. Because he gave his life to free us. To free us to serve one another. And then he gave us the example. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That tells us right there. We are to serve. We are to be Christ's ambassadors. We are to be Christ-like in the things we do. He came to serve. We should find a way and a purpose and a place and a people or group to serve. Whether it's in this church, outside of this church, we are to serve others. And we're going to look at that in just a minute and say, how do we do that? I want to flip over real quick to Luke chapter 14, if you would. Luke chapter 14. And as you're turning to Luke 14, I'm going to read out of Mark chapter 9, 35. And it says, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." So Luke chapter 14, and we'll close with this. And I got to say, is Jesus back there in the other chapter I was just reading about, he was talking about the little children coming to him. And I thought, man, that's really what got me down here. Is I watched little Peter getting his communion. And then he looked at Mark and said, "Thank you." And then as he walked so carefully not to spill that. And I thought, you know, I just love that. And that's really what caught me off guard and got to me at the end. Because I thought, as we train up our children, and have them partake of that. Just what a blessing that was for me to watch that. And that's what Jesus was saying. Whoa, whoa, don't hold them back. We're not holding them back to come to that. That's why I said men's breakfast is open to 13 and older. By the way, if you've got people younger than that, bring them. Bring our young men. But that's just kind of an age group. We thought they would enjoy it and be a part of it. But the younger people, so be it. Bring them. Train them up. Luke chapter 14, verse 7 through 14 is what we'll read and close with. "So he told a parable to those who were invited. When he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, 'When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, "Give place to this man." And then you begin with shame." And you begin with shame, it says, "to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher. Go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And then he said also to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And I think when we invite people, when I challenge you to invite people to Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, find someone maybe less fortunate. You think, oh, I'd invite them, but they might be an embarrassment to me. Would you invite them and bring them? Jesus said, don't bring all these people, bring these people. We don't want to go up and sit at the table at the top and have someone go, oh, this spot is for someone more honorable and more important. I need you to go sit down there. Better to sit down there and have them say, oh no, I've got a spot for you right up here. Come on. There's no room in serving the master for pride, jockeying for position or status. So as we close today, I want to just present this to you. How do I live this out in my life? I talked to Dwayne last week and just something caught my eye and it said, how do I live this out? How do I live this scripture out? How do I live this message out, Adam? How do I live it out? You serve your house daily. You serve your household daily. If someone is in your household, serve them. Then you serve someone outside of your house. Look for opportunities to serve others. And then write it down. Write it down somewhere. Not for scorekeeping. God, I got one. But if it's God, I got none, write it down so it's before you for progress keeping. Progress tracking. Say, oh. And then in time you won't need to do it because that becomes a day-to-day thing. How did I serve someone in my household? How did I serve someone outside of my household? We ate dinner last night at the house. We were all a little wore out. Been a long day. Many dishes that we would often leave for someone. Her name is Cindy. To clean. And I started walking out, coming to church this morning. Put some stuff in the car, went back in. And I thought, I've got to live out my message. And I don't like doing dishes, and it's no fun, but I thought, I have to live out my message as well. And I have to serve someone. And that may be a big thing or a little thing. It's a big thing to her probably. It's a big thing to me to have to do it. But for others, say, big deal, you did the dishes. Well, there were a lot and they were dirty and it's just no fun. And that's sometimes when you know you're growing that you're serving people, doing things. And in time, you feel okay about it. When we served at the food bank, it was no big deal. Oh, it's already time to go home. I'd like to stay another couple hours. And I talked to a young lady on the right and a young man on the left of me. And I said, is this your first time? She said, no, I come every week. Young man on the left, is this your first time? He said, no, I come every week. I try and give him at least one day a week. Wow. So how can I live out this scripture? Serve someone in your house each day. Serve someone outside of your house each day. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your example. The scripture says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And Lord, we know that it was not always easy for you to serve others. But we know that it was your lifestyle. And Lord, help it to become part of our lifestyle. Lord, help us look as we listen to Bible studies, sermons, whatever it is, help us to find ways to live that out. In the song we sang, Word of God Speak, God, would you speak to us through your word, through your Bible, Lord, and help us find out how to make that come alive, how to live it out. Help us to further your kingdom by living it out, by sharing it with others. God, as we prepare for Easter service in the upcoming weeks, help us prepare in our heart as well what journey you went through. The invitations and the glory for speaking in certain places, the agitation and the fleeing cities in other cases. Those situations you faced head on, coming into town as they sang praises to you. Days later to be beat, scourged, hung on a cross. But Lord, we thank you for the resurrection that came. The resurrection that came to change each and every one of us. God, as we continue to pray right now, if there's those among us that need special prayer, if you would, just raise your hand. If you need special prayer today, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, for those that need prayer where they are, thank you. All right. Thank you. God, whatever that prayer is, that we would come along beside those individuals and lift them up. Pray for them. God, help us as we go out this week to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. Lord, help us as salt not to lose our flavor. Help us. Help us, Lord, help others find the way. Help God our actions to those we know and don't know. God, protect our tongue as we speak to others. That the words we use glorify you and do not bring shame to you. And I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.